What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 571st episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, Steve. With me is Greg.
Hello, it's Pride Weekend, but you're hearing this on Monday. So to all the people who had a big Pride Weekend, I am sorry for your headaches and hangovers. Take a break. If they made you work, that is against the law in June. So I would bring that up to HR.
HR is not for you. For the company.
We are going to have that conversation one day because I am going to go off on all of you millennials that bought a bunch of CEO garbage about HR right now. Do not get started with me as a person who has been in HR for years.
I had the worst HR employee.
I'm not saying there aren't people who are bad at their job.
I don't know if she was bad at her job. She was just a bad person.
Well,
speaking of good people, Hannah is here.
Hopefully. Good person. I spent the whole week with family and now my phone is at the Apple store, so I can't even play Pokemon Go right now, and I haven't even been able to play Pokemon Go. But my brother's graduated.
Is your phone at the Apple store in relation to you having to spend time with your family?
No.
Are these two things related?
Does your family work for HR?
No. But my phone is at the Apple store because I play too much Pokemon Go and I needed to replace the battery before GoFest.
Because
it was really bad.
Got it. Wait, what kind of phone do you have? Do you have like an older?
I have an iPhone 12 Pro. So it's almost 3 years old.
God.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Did you find that in the fossil layer? Good grief.
Nah, 12s are still good. 11s are really pushing it though.
I had a 6 before that, so.
Oh, good Lord. Did you revive that, the Science Museum in Pewter City?
We have a show for you guys today. There's a lot of Pokemon news. We're just going to focus on, the three big things. So then Nintendo Direct. And then Pokemon anime is coming back.
There was Pokemon information in a Nintendo
there
Direct?
There was.
How? That is not a thing that happens.
Because unlike people on the internet, we don't move the goalpost here. That's why. Yeah, like this conversation happens every time there's a Pokemon, the Nintendo Direct. People are like, don't expect any Pokemon news. And, you know, for the most part, there are Pokemon Presents, which does cover. But that doesn't ever mean that there's not Pokemon news. Like this year alone, they showed Stadium, and they showed the TCG, and they showed something else that was virtual console related that I'm blanking on. Like, that is Pokemon news. Whether or not you care about it, that's your own problem. But to be like, they never show Pokemon news, and I'm like, hey, they just talked about the TCG thing on virtual console, or no, it's not even called virtual console anymore. I don't even know what it's called. They're like, well, that doesn't count. Like, what? You said Pokemon news. Like, don't move the goalpost on me.
No, main series by my definition, Pokemon news. That excludes things that I don't consider main series or add-ons.
Yeah.
Also, please sign this addendum so that you know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't read the fine print. Thank you very much.
I mean, even when, you know, my personal opinion, we'll start with here. Let's not start with a trailer, because I have my own thoughts about the trailer. Let's start with Detective Pikachu. That's where we're going to start off with. Because that was probably the actual shocker. Getting a trailer for Scarlet and Violet, not that shocking.
Not the shocker.
Nor was anything very shocking in that trailer.
But no.
But Detective Pikachu was shown off here. It says, this is the press release we have. During a Nintendo Direct, the Pokemon Company International and Nintendo announced that Detective Pikachu returns exclusively to the Nintendo Switch on October 6th. So hopefully, Janine and her calendar, we can rule out that there will be no DLC coming out this weekend. But hey, you never know.
You never know. That is a leap that I am not along with right now.
Didn't they? They released new Pokemon Snap, if I remember correctly, and that same weekend there was a brand new Berserker or Galarian Meowthrae. Berserker?
Yeah.
I think it was Berserker. Mm-hmm. And that was frustrating. And if I was to actually look at the calendar, I'm sure there was a Pokemon Go event that weekend too.
That's all in the past.
Detective Pikachu returns coming soon. This new title, once again, stars the one and only tough-talking, coffee-loving Detective Pikachu and his trusty partner, Mr. Tim Goodman. With the help of many other Pokemon, Tim and Pikachu work together to solve a series of incidents that are occurring in Rhyme City, a place where humans and Pokemon live side by side. Okay, I'm just going to preference this. The first Detective Pikachu game is 6 years old, and there was a movie. So if for some reason in the last 6 years you decided not to play Detective Pikachu, this is your spoiler warning, because it's been 6 years. You can't even buy this game anymore because the 3DS eShop is closed.
I'm here feeling like I should have bought it before the eShop closed.
you could probably find it at like a...
The first one came out when I was living in Japan for 3 months, and that's a game you really want to buy in English if you're not great at Japanese.
Yeah.
And by the time I got back, I needed that money for college. So,
I think
never.
I think Greg still has my copy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Trade you Detective Pikachu for Pokemon Box. Hey, do you remember they released the 30? Hey, for the every listener, remember that Greg has my copy of Detective Pikachu.
This is lies and slander.
Number two is they released a $30 amiibo to go with that.
Right,
and that was the thing. I was serious about this. We will be talking Detective Pikachu spoilers. Hannah, before we get to spoilers, and for somebody who did not play the first game, is this something you want to pick up? Do you have interest in? Also, I don't remember. I know you saw the movie. I don't know if you liked it or not.
I did enjoy the movie. I've bought it. I've watched it multiple times since first seeing it. And yes, Greg has the copy.
From my cold, dead hands. Actually, I had to open up to make sure the cartridge is still in there. Look, I take care of things.
I'm sure it's well done. I never questioned that.
Taking care of your stuff. You keep promising to come get a ladder. You never show up.
Tuesday, I'll get the ladder.
What if I'm dead?
Then I will ask your husband for my copy of Detective Pikachu and the ladder.
Yeah, he's not talking to you.
I did enjoy the movie. I probably will play the sequel. I've been thinking about watching a recap of the first one, wondering if I should or if I should try to find a physical copy somewhere and just play through it.
I will say I adored the first Detective Pikachu, minus the ending. I thought it was a very fun... It was, as somebody who liked the Professor Layton games, Detective Pikachu is like two steps below that. Much, much easier.
It's much easier. Like, the story is, if you watched the movie, you got most of the story with a better ending.
Okay.
The ending of Detective Pikachu just is like, so you're not going to answer those questions at all, huh? Okay, I guess.
Because they needed the sequel, which for a long time looked like it was never actually going to happen.
I don't know if they actually just... we're thinking we're going to leave this kind of cliffhangery because we know we're going to get a sequel, or if they just was like, we just don't want to answer these questions, period.
They were the core questions of the game, though. I mean, I watched the trailers.
Yeah.
Oh, there's not a satisfying ending to that game.
No.
So Greg is right. If you watch the movie, I think the movie is a great version of that story, even though it leaves a lot out. There's like a whole festival at the end of Detective Pikachu that was, well, I guess they changed the festival. The festival in the game is like a nighttime festival. There is technically like a parade at the end of the first one. There's like a whole power plant thing in the game that they leave out, which was like, there was like a cool Joltik puzzle.
In the movie, do they go to the cruise ship?
No, there's no cruise ship at all either.
Look, Detective Pikachu goes all sorts of locations.
Yeah,
you're like, what? How are we here?
But like, the game kind of has to add like more stuff because you need to like go to new environments and like do the puzzles and stuff. It's really great.
It is a charming game that ends the one mystery ends well. Like, you don't have any questions about the mysteries that you are trying to solve. The overarching mystery that they introduce, this is an Arrow serial type of situation. Yeah, we know there's questions. Are we going to answer those? Pfft, we'll see.
Yeah, and so at the, you know, the one question in the Detective Pikachu game is like, you're looking for your dad, and I don't know when it clicked with me that like, oh, I think the dad is Pikachu. Like, I don't know how far into the game I was before I was like, oh, this is because like the dad loves coffee, Pikachu loves coffee. And then when you get to the end of the game, Mewtwo's like about to ask your dad, aka Pikachu, if he wants to do the thing he wants to do. And then there's like this weird cuts, and then you're like, ah, okay, here it comes. And then there's this weird blackout, like you don't see like the choice that Pikachu makes in front of Mewtwo. And then Pikachu comes back to you and was like, hey, Tim Goodman, we got another mission to do. And it was like, what? You know, this is the end of the game? You decided not to answer the question, and we have another mission to an unannounced sequel that, like, well, like 6 years later, here it is. But in the movie, that happened. Pikachu turns into the dad. You're like, that was it. That was supposed to happen in the game.
So I don't know if... I never got the sense that, like in the movie, like Pikachu was the dad. I'm like, oh, this is clearly his Pikachu, and he raised it in very specific ways. And in the game, it is not as, I don't think they make it as clear that it is the dad as they do in the movies, obviously, because the movie really had to point towards that ending. And in the game, you're really hoping Mewtwo is going to answer one way or the other, like just say yes or no, and they do. They cut away, and then he comes running out, and you're like, "And what? What even was the question? We don't even get to see the question." And what? Okay, and it has one of those endings where they left it open, and I think the way I felt was like they left it open for the possibility of a sequel, not that they were sure they're going to get one. Have you ever seen TV series that do that? That they sort of tie up
so many
every.
They
plot
have
line
to,
except for a few.
Yeah, they have to leave a cliffhanger to try and get renewed.
Right. I mean, that was a pretty big cliffhanger. So I see the trailer. I think it looks good. Good as in, like, I want to play this. Graphically, it was a little like, you were working on this on 3DS, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, it definitely looks like the 3DS game. And I don't know if that's... like them really working hard to keep the style so they feel connected, but also you don't need to do that. We know they're separate systems.
I felt like
the scale
worked pretty well for a Switch game. I mean, it didn't look like everything was too big or too small.
If this game looked like Skyrim 7 graphically, I don't think it's gonna like sell more copies. It's just like I feel like when that trailer hit, you were either excited or you were like, I don't care. Like I don't know how big the market of this game is. Even when I played the first one, it didn't when it came out in English on the 3DS, it just didn't seem like a lot of people really cared. Like a single player very simple puzzle game on the 3DS seemed like a pretty limited audience, even with the Pokemon brand behind it.
According to this that I'm finding online, as of December 31st, 2021, Detective Pikachu sold 14.93 million copies worldwide.
What? That's
respectable sales. Yes.
That is super respectable. What?
I'm gonna see if I can find something that.
Are you sure you're not reading like the movie, like the copies of Blu-ray?
That makes more sense.
It's also like one of those games that, at least to me, didn't have any replay value. It's not like you could. It's not like Tears of the Kingdom where you walk into a shrine and you're like, I can solve this puzzle like five different ways, right? Like in Detective Pikachu, there was kind of one way to solve every single puzzle. So I mean, maybe if you were like speed running Detective Pikachu, you could replay it, but like. I figured out how to get the Joltik down the power plant and then plugged into the battery. Like, I did it.
This is a different game they're talking about. What is Detective Pikachu case closed?
In Japan, it was three games.
Oh, okay. This is what that's talking about.
So in Japan, it was like three series that they all repackaged for one cartridge for US.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that's going to change those numbers. I'm looking for better numbers.
Okay, because 14 million sound like a whole lot. Now, if you divide that by 3, what is that, like 6-ish million?
14 divided by 3 is less than 5.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 4.5 million, 4.33 million.
Something like that, yep.
That's still a lot. Yeah, so yeah, for those that didn't know, in Japan, this they got it in a digital release. I think they eventually got a cartridge, but it was like once a month for 3 months, they got part of the story. And then we had to wait almost a year after it came out in Japan for that physical release. This is an old game. Like, when I say 6 years, I think that's when it came out in Japan. I don't remember the US, but so you go into, I guess we go into this game going, okay, well, Pikachu's the dad. The movie already spoiled that. And hopefully at the end of this, the Pikachu turns back into the dad, but we're just solving another mystery, which is fine.
It would be kind of great if they made it a twist and made Pikachu not the dad in the games, but they were heavily hinting at it during the trailer for the new one.
Yeah. And I believe this game is made by Creatures, which is a division of the Pokemon company. And I do know I was following a guy on Twitter who was working on this game. And he was one of the English people in Japan working on this game. He no longer works for Creatures. He's working on that new farming game, pal.
The fairy thing.
Yeah, the fairy farming game that they keep showing in every Nintendo Direct.
I'm actually slightly interested in that.
Yeah, it looked okay. Yeah, I'm excited for Detective Pikachu, but like I know it, also this is gonna be a $50 game.
Yeah, it is.
I know in my head that I'm going to play it once and then that's it. Like, yep, that was good. Like, and with no desire to like play it again. The first Detective Pikachu was relatively long though, long in like a good way. Like it didn't. Like it changing areas and changing puzzles was very helpful to the longevity of that game.
Makes it worth it, hopefully. Even if it's just once you play it, you know the story, and there's really no reason to play it again.
No, there's not a lot of replay value. Can we talk about the best part of that trailer, which is the slowpoke in the hat?
The slowpoke in the cowboy hat?
The cowboy-esque fedora hat.
We can only hope that Niantic will put a cowboy hat on Slowpoke then and release it the same week the game comes out.
I mean, it's probably going to go into Unite. That's the easiest way to put it in. But the question is would it go on a Slowbro?
What if the twist was the reason they held this game back for so long is because they wanted to put like Gen 8 Pokemon in it, like Milcery?
Oh, could be. Could be. They're like, we need something more for the cafe. We need cafe type Pokemon. We know some are coming up, so we're not going to do this game until we get it.
The Milcery animation took 3 extra years. That's why we're just getting this game now.
Yeah, they've had some time for that.
All right, there are no good places that have numbers for this game.
I think the problem with the number stuff, that's why I was shocked. I was like, I don't think that 14 million is right, is because we've never gotten digital numbers. Like, we don't know when a game sells digitally, unless or if we do get digital numbers, they're merged in with the physical numbers. So
yeah, I mean, there's one line that says the game sold 122,000 units, 95 retail sales, and about 27 digital. But then that was just for Japan, and then it says in North America it was the top selling 3DS game in March of 2018, and then was in the top 10 through June and July. It did great in UK, but there are no numbers attached to that.
It being the number one game was also still pretty surprising.
I mean, generally it was well received, but like it's not great. Like most people just put it in the middle of the pack. I mean, it is a middle of the pack game. Like there's not a ton of replay value. It is pretty down the path that the game wants you to go. But it's an enjoyable little trip.
Yeah, it sounds enjoyable. It sounds amusing. It sounds like it's a good way to spend time for a little bit and then you're done.
$50 seems like a lot.
Yeah.
It seems like a whole bunch. Also, we have to, I completely forgot about this, but when Pikachu starts talking, I was like, oh yeah, like he has that like rough and gruff voice or whatever. And then I completely forgot that people made Danny DeVito jokes for for months when the first Detective Pikachu came out and was like, they should have got Danny DeVito. And then I forgot that that was a thing with the movie when they're like, we're casting Ryan Reynolds. And people were like, they should have got it. And then all those jokes came back. And I was like,
they did.
I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that you guys really took this joke and dug it into the like, just this is the only thing you got going now. And you didn't play this game. It's fine.
Dedicated fans started a petition requesting American actor Danny DeVito as the English actor for the titular character. The petition gained 40,000 signatures, but DeVito declined to audition for the role, saying he's never heard of Pokemon.
Yeah, we talked about this on the show.
Oh, yeah.
where Ryan Reynolds came out and he was like, I really want to do this movie because my daughters love Pokemon. And then Danny DeVito was like, I don't care about that series. Like, why would you want an actor that doesn't care about the series you care about to do? Like,
also, sometimes voice actors are better than big name movie actors when it comes to voice acting stuff.
I'm not going to get started on using big name actors
But Ryan Reynolds made sense because he shows up at the end.
No, I mean, for the movie, the way they went with it, it's fine. But like I have an issue with the direction that a lot of voice acting is taking, where they are just hiring actors who don't attempt to change their voice in any way to create a new character. And when they do multiple movies and they always sound the same, it's really not, it isn't as effective as when you can see them, because actors who play different roles can change their physicality and they actually do change how they act and how they act out. And that doesn't come across as clearly in voice animation, especially when you have a lot of people. A lot of famous actors are like, oh, I'm not going to really do anything for this role. I'm just going to say the lines, which is a super frustrating thing. Like, if you ever watch Archer and Bob's Burger, you know that they're the same.
But that's what I love about it.
But you can actually tell that he changes how he speaks between the two characters. Like, he does do a lot of voice work to make the two characters distinct, although he doesn't have the ability to get out of his own voice.
Yeah, because
right?
Bob sounds depressed and Archer sounds confident.
Right, and so they do a lot of that stuff, whereas it's harder for me to say I can hear a lot of differences between Chris Pratt in the Lego movie and Chris Pratt in the Mario movie. Like, he just really doesn't do a lot, and they don't really hire him to do a wide variety of characters that give a lot of depth, and it's a whole frustrating thing. Anyways, join me on my voice actors hatred podcast starting next week.
That there was a Lego movie, and I forgot I saw it.
There's two. Isn't there two?
Yeah, there's at least two.
I think I liked it. I think it was all right.
The first Lego movie was super fun. I don't remember enjoying it.
Doesn't he show up at
much.
The end of that movie like a Detective Pikachu? Isn't the spoiler for that movie is like he's like standing there at the end with his kid building Legos?
No. I mean, one of the voice actors is standing there with his kid and it's a whole thing, but no.
Then maybe I don't remember that movie very well. I remember it being okay, though. All right. Well, before we get to the Scarlet and Violet stuff, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got Scarlet and Violet trailer. We'll go from there. We will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for building your brand and growing your business online. This is recorded fresh every time, by the way. It's always the brand. You can stand out with a beautiful website. You can engage with your audience. You can sell anything, your products, your content, your time. You can sell it all. Greg, what are we selling this week?
It's kind of a catch-all because we all know how impressive and important it is to get every form of Viviant in your game. You're going to need to make a website that's going to list the postcards and the pattern that goes with, and then you can have check marks, but more importantly, you can schedule appointments for people to come to join your game. Next Thursday is Modern Week here in Scarlet and Violet, and we're only doing Modern Viviant, so everybody come. You can send out email campaigns saying, hey, everybody, collect your postcards this week. It's going to be a mad rush. But also, you're going to have analytics to say who joined. You can blog about your experiences catching Vivian. You can put up pictures of your Vivian in-game for other students. You can have them send you pictures. Take your best pattern picture and send it to me. Run contest. It's connected all to your social media accounts. And Squarespace makes it easy to track your Vivian.
And when you're ready to launch, use offer code PKMNCAST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
This podcast is brought to you by Brilliant. Brilliant.org is the best way to learn math and computer science interactively. Brilliant has thousands of lessons from foundational and advanced math to AI, data science, STEM stuff. That stuff's so smart that I should be taking it because I don't know what it is, but it sounds awesome. And new lessons are added monthly. If you like the hands-on stuff, if you like to learn new skills, if you like something that's just like a little bit low pressure and you want to get back into learning, Brilliant is for you. You can try everything Brilliant has to offer free for 30 days. Visit brilliant.org/PKMNCAST or click on the link in our show notes. And the first 200 of you will get 20% off Brilliant's annual premium subscription. That is brilliant.org/PKMNCAST to get a 30-day free trial, plus the first 200 people will get 20% off their annual subscriptions. And we are back from our break. Okay, so the Nintendo Direct opened up with a Pokemon trailer. We got new footage. It wasn't the most exciting footage.
It was not.
It was new.
It was
at
new.
At least.
True. So in this off the press release, explore Mossy Town, Missouri.
Yeah, explore Missouri. Come explore Missouri.
You thought we were going to Kalos? We are going all the way down to Missouri.
That is the same sounds. So you have to get the Japanese U and the Japanese E, Masui.
Masui. That's why Hannah's on the show. In part
the
one,
only
we will,
reason that invests.
We will.
Japanese knowledge invests.
We have yet to wear a vest on the show.
We need to hit our vest quota. So we're going to this new town in the land of Kitakami, the community center in the middle of Masui?
It's like Moss?
Moss?
Masui.
Masui town is
enough.
A public gathering place where locals can get together and chat, but it will also serve as the player's base of operations for the duration of the school trip. There's a shop nearby with toys and magazines on display, and outside the town, you'll be treated to a view of picturesque fields and rice paddies.
Spoiler alert, you are not going to be able to walk into the shop. I guarantee you, it's just going to be a menu.
Yep,
I don't know.
That's how it goes.
In Crown Tundra and Isle of Armor, you go in buildings.
You don't go into any buildings
in the rest
anywhere
of Sword and Shield
in Scarlet
too.
Violet.
Scarlet and Violet does not have that functionality.
Investigate four unique biomes in the Hidden Treasure Part 2. Blueberry Academy is where players will go to study abroad in the Indigo Disc. It's home to a facility called the Terrarium Dome, which maintains a variety of ecosystems that provide a livable environment for Pokemon. This world-renowned park beneath the sea is constructed to bolster the learning environment for strong trainers. The Terrarium Dome is made up of four areas, each of which features a unique climate and ecosystem.
I like how they respelled Terrarium so that it's Terra.
Yeah. Every time I'm looking at it, it just bothers me. I'm like, it's not high. Okay, wait, they're saying Terrarium, which is impossible to say.
The artificial sky projected onto the ceiling and walls will change to reflect the time of day and the weather. The temperature is unique and carefully regulated. The trainers will find a completely different Pokemon in each area. Okay, we'll stop there. Here's a thing that I feel like I need to remind myself all the time. Do you know when we see like trailers to like Legends Arceus or Sword and Shield, and then we tell ourselves, this is early footage, it'll eventually look better. And There is like comparisons of like, oh yeah, it looks better. Like this area has like three more whoopers now and like more grass, and here's the side by side. But then like play like Legends Arceus and go back immediately after you're done playing and watch the trailers. They were not lying about anything. What they showed in that trailer was like, oh yeah, that was it. Like you showed your hand. And so when they showed this, I couldn't help but think like, oh, okay. Oh, you know, I was, all right. Okay.
I mean, it looks like the rest of the game.
It does. Yeah. And maybe that's my fault for wanting more.
Yep. It looks like the rest of the game.
I was expecting Mosui to look a little bit more Japanese. Like the buildings look Japanese and there are rice paddies, but the world, the natural features all just look like the rest of Paldea.
Yeah. I think maybe that's my complaint. I didn't know how to put that into words. And I think you did it perfectly, Hannah, where it's like when they went to go show the first DLC, I expected like a Japanese forest almost. And maybe that does exist, but I was like, oh, this just looks like Paldea.
Yeah. I mean, the festival looks plenty Japanese because they were able to make all of the new buildings and all of the decorations and all of that, but once you get into the wild, all of the pictures we've seen, all of the screenshots and trailers, everything except for the rice paddies just looks like Paldea.
I think they wanted to draw the line where it feels like it's in the same world, so it doesn't feel like you've gone to like a completely different game, but I think they hedged their bets too far and kept it way too close to
or they just didn't want to make that many new assets.
They also didn't want to make that many new assets. I mean, which is fine. I mean, the thing is, if you think about it, like there's an entire bamboo forest for no reason in Paldea. Like it's just there, that whole area. So like even with the existing assets, they had enough there to be able to reconfigure them in a way that made it feel much different than the mainland. And I can see like the thought process of going, well, that's going to feel like it's too incongruent, right? Like you have gone somewhere that just doesn't fit in the world
the
that I was playing before.
You're going somewhere else,
right?
But not so Kalos.
I think they worried about that too much. I think they needed to lean into that more based off of what we saw in this trailer, because the trailer was like, yeah, is it a new land? Is it a new town? Like, I guess the buildings are a little different and there's other Pokemon, but
it
feels like this could have just been dropped in the middle of Paldea and we would have been like, oh, where'd that town come from?
Yeah.
The second DLC, I guess we'll jump back and forth, looks way better. They show those characters. I think the biome terrarium thing is a cool concept. I don't know if it's going to be like a Super Smash Brothers things where like the terrariums like change. I don't you remember that map in Smash where like you're like fighting and then it goes away
like
and then
Hunger
the new
Games.
Thing. Yeah, that would be cool. I doubt that. But
I kind of hope that they brought back the, on some level, the old Safari Zone where you could put things in to make your own unique areas of the Safari Zone, which was like one of the only good things in Heart Gold, Soul Silver.
Mm-hmm.
And so it'd be interesting if they added that here, that you had the ability to swap out amongst the terrarium types to bring in an interesting way to make unique and diverse Pokemon show up. I do not have that sense that they did that from the trailer, because they did say the only thing you get that from is maintains a variety of ecosystems, and they say there's four areas and the trailer shows very specific ones. Mm-hmm. So the only way you would think there might be more is from their press release saying a variety, because four isn't much of a variety.
Four is a variety, though. I mean, I live in a city that has five quadrants. So, no, six. Six quadrants now. So words mean what they want them to mean.
Yeah.
I'm worried that the biome thing will be super small. Just, like, if you look at all the screenshots and the perspective of, like, going from here to there. Because, like, you can see the grass area from the winter area, and you can see this the rock area from the sand area. Like, the perspective makes it seem like...
They show that, but they show the lines. They show you jumping over the lines where you're going from one area to the other. I got the whole opposite feeling. I felt like this was way bigger than I expected it to be.
Okay. Yeah, I felt like it looked a little small. I wonder if the biome stuff... my first thought was, like, because they show Alolan Exeggutor, I was like, I wonder if the biomes are, like, areas where you can do the regional evolutions. Like, if you stand here, you can do Alola. If you stand here, you can do Galar. This did exist in Sun and Moon, by the way. I don't know if people know this, but in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, if you flew into an Ultra Wormhole, you could evolve, execute into a regular Exeggutor because you weren't technically in Alola anymore. And I don't know if anywhere in Galar had that.
No.
Not that I can recall.
Not that I remember at all, no.
But yeah, in Alola you could. I mean, that was also the first game, so there wasn't a whole lot. You also needed to have the Ultra version of those games.
I think both looked fine, but neither area was like, I'm super excited for this. But then again, I felt that way for Crown Tundra and Isle of Armor when they showed them, where I was just like, okay. I mean, it wasn't until actually moving through them that I understood what they were going for better. So it's really hard for me to make an actual judgment call on how fun I think they're going to be. Like, I was having this conversation with somebody else where I was like, if you already are against Scarlet and Violet and that game is dead to you, I don't think there was anything in these trailers to change your mind. I think they still looked a lot like Scarlet and Violet. And if you didn't like it, these DLCs aren't necessarily going to convince you to. Like, the DLCs added a lot to Sword and Shield, but... arguably didn't radically alter those games. So if you didn't like them, they weren't going to suddenly do something that made you overjoyed with them, but they added a lot to make the games better. And I think that same thing is going to happen here. I don't think if you hate Scarlet and Violet, these two DLCs are going to suddenly make you love the game.
We'll see how big the battle features are in the second DLC. I feel like that may be of interest to some people who have kind of been turned off by Scarlet and Violet, but also just, harken back to Sword and Shield. Sword and Shield's DLC did feel different. The vibes were different between the two DLCs and the main game. These both just feel like more Paldea.
Yeah.
The DLC in Sword and Shield had walking Pokemon. That's what every Pokemon fan on Twitter wanted. Yeah. They want Pokemon to follow you. That's why it sold so well. Come on. Basic 2+2.
Basic tutorials. I think... I was hoping for something to be revealed, like the Dynamax Adventures, like that.
They're not far enough yet. We're not close enough for that yet.
Type of thing at least hinted to in here, and it's
no. This is just showing gameplay. Yeah, this is just showing what it's look. What
this
it looks
is just
like.
A showcase. So yeah. I think there may still be more to come that might get people more excited. But overall, it was just okay.
I agree with what you said, Greg, about how like. I don't think this DLC is convincing anyone that maybe already dislikes Scarlet and Violet, although they did sell a lot of copies of Scarlet and Violet.
They did.
That's true.
But I do remember with the Sword and Shield DLC, which I will say, I think those trailers made me way more excited than this trailer. The thing that I frequently heard was, especially with the Isle of Armor, was this is what the wild area should have been. The first time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that did stand out to people of like just being in the Isle of Armor felt like what if that middle chunk of Sword and Shield was this?
Yeah.
And I think they did that right. And I don't think like it took them a year to or took them what 8 months to get to that point. But like that, I guess that's like the minor ounce of hope I have here is like whatever they're showing is like, yeah, this looks like more Paldea. Hopefully something's right.
I mean, I have hope because Isle of Armor did ultimately feel like a better version of it. And we did not get that sense from the trailer. And so I think it is possible from what they're showing us that we aren't seeing the same sort of Isle of Armor area change. So it's like, it's hard to really make a judgment call, which, I mean, some people could argue for a teaser trailer, then you sort of not met the goal. I don't know. I'm hoping that we will at least get another more expanded one closer to the actual release. I think it's somewhat clear, given the general vibe of the trailer, that I think the first DLC was supposed to come out during the summer.
Oh yeah.
And 100. It's not. Like,
this is a summer festival. This is a Japanese summer festival. There is no way this was intended for any other season than the summer.
So it's interesting, given that, in the light of our arguments of they should delay things. I think it's pretty clear that they are delaying the release of this DLC.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And I'm wondering, like, my speculation was is that they wanted to put it out in summer, but they realized that they really had to fix a lot of things in the base game before they could do this. And I think the continuing problems they're having with raids are symptoms of them trying to fix things, which is why this was clearly delayed from summer into fall. And I'm wondering if, based on that, we are going to see some more improvements in the games when the DLCs actually hit, or if it's really they're trying to get the game into a much better state to make transition into the DLC seem more flawless and connected.
We will get to raids breaking again.
Yeah, we'll get there.
But what were you gonna say, Hannah?
I am really curious how much of these new DLCs are going to focus on features versus story.
Yeah.
Because I feel like these ones are focusing more on story than Sword and Shields were. This is more of an extension of the story than we got in the previous DLCs. And so I'm not sure whether they are focusing more on that and making it less of a focus on new features, or whether we're still going to get new features that they just haven't shown yet, because these are really early on trailers.
This is also like a symptom of people having just huge expectations for Pokemon and then being let down. I fell into this with Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. I don't know if you guys remember, but like when they showed like the updated map to Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, like the screenshot, people were like, these look like gyms. Like, remember in Sun and Moon, there was a bunch of construction sites. They're actually going to get turned into buildings in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. Like, none of that happened. Mm-hmm. The only buildings Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon added were like these bad photo booth things. And I don't remember what they did. Like, there were no gyms. Like, there was nothing like super wild or twisty about that kind of stuff, which is like, that doesn't mean Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon are bad games. I think they were well worth the $40. Mm-hmm. But even with like Legends Arceus, people are like, I can't wait for the DLC. Like, we found like a player's house, and like maybe this was like, none of that happened. So I don't want to be like, oh my gosh, these DLCs are gonna really pump this game up to the next level, because I think the thing that could pump this game up to the next level is just like fixing the frame rate, fixing the raids, mm-hmm. like just making what we are playing now a more, just like fixing the quality of life of what we have right now is like what I would prefer over more slightly broken stuff. Like,
yeah,
like I literally had it. I did what, 30 Gimme Ghoul raids. And all of a sudden, my like little icons on my map were in the center of my screen, just like floating around. And I was like, "Oh, I thought we fixed this issue. Like, I haven't seen this issue in 2 months, and now I have to hard reboot my game because I just came out of a raid. I've been standing in the same spot, just connecting to raids over and over, and I come out, and all of a sudden, like my north indicator is above my character's head, and then, like these games are just still broken.
Yeah."
What else did they have in this press release? I will mention a spoiler, if you played through Scarlet and Violet, there was not a single double battle in that entire game. This trailer shows a double battle.
This trailer shows a double battle.
So there you go. That's cool.
But it's in the second DLC, so it's going to be a while till we get there.
Yeah.
New characters are revealed. Among them are Cyrano,
founder. Is it Cyrano?
Cyrano. Okay. It's close to crypto. Founder of the director and academy, and Lacey is a student there. She's the only student in the entire school. Having heard rumors about players and their adventure, Cyrano visits Paldea to invite them to an institution as an exchange student. It seems that they are a longtime acquaintance of Director Clavel. Lacey is a second-year student at the Blueberry Academy. She is a reliable person who shows the player around the academy when first arriving. Her Pokemon battling skills are apparently nothing to scoff at.
All right, this needs to be said. Just because he has a Hone Edge scarf does not mean there is a new version of Hone Edge coming.
Wait,
they pulled this with what's her name and the toxic butterfly in her hair.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a style choice.
Mm-hmm. What about his scarf is Hone Edge?
The swirl, the blue swirl at the end of the scarf.
He has like a Pokeball on the middle of his scarf, right? Or his tie.
That's his tie. Then around his neck, under the lapels, is a long black scarf, and it is a Hone Edge scarf.
I don't see the bottom of his scarf, though. It gets cut off by the image.
Oh, you go to the Pokemon website and go to the DLC characters.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was still on the press release website. My bad.
Got it.
My bad. Yeah, and then they don't talk about the other two characters with the weird hair.
Yeah, they showed off a couple more characters, but...
Oh, I see. I was looking at his in-game model. Got it?
Yeah.
The picture right below it I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, she also has... I can't place which one right now people were saying about what Lacey was showing off. But again, these are just style choices.
Yeah, they are cool ways that Pokemon designs are integrated into the fashion and the Pokemon characters in ways that we can't get in Pokemon Center clothing, apparently.
Correct.
You're telling me that Iono didn't have a Magnemite on her team?
Yeah. No, she
did. Even though she had Magnemite in her hair?
But she has them in her hair, but they're her precious children, so she doesn't send them into battle.
Got it. That makes sense. Yeah, they don't talk about the people in the trailer with the...
Not at all. They're not even on the character list in the website.
They have names.
They're missing people.
They say their name in the trailer. The first
they don't have them here. Introducing some of the characters, only two of which we feel are important, Cyrano and Lacey.
Also, like, what are we battling? Why are we battling people? This is the same issue with like the Crown Tundra and the Isle of Armor. Like, we're all level 100. Like, are these NPCs going to be level 100 too? Are they going to take away our Pokemon?
Double battles. They're trying to finally introduce double battles into the game.
Finally, after all these years, double battles are finally a thing.
I mean,
the Blueberry Academy focuses on battling. That's, I think, been said.
Yeah, I mean, there was. Technically level scaling. Technically level scaling in Scarlet and Violet. If you had less than 8 gym badges, what was it? It was like if you didn't beat Leon, everyone in the Crown Tundra and the Isle of Armor was like level like 25.
Yeah.
And then if you did beat Leon, everyone was like what, like level 65?
Level 60.
I think it was 65.
60 or 65, yeah.
Which is like a form of level scaling, sure, because like, you know, if you have 3 gym badges, you could go over to the Crown Tundra, you could still have a great time. Like, that's cool. I don't know how you fix that problem, because you also don't want to like tell your players like, oh, you need like a team of at least 70 to go over here. Like, that's not fun for somebody who just bought a DLC to be like, oh, I can't even do that. Like, all my friends are doing that and I can't go there. Does co-op work over here? Hey, these games have co-op, by the way. I know like 4 people tried it.
The co-op is fun. I will stand by that. I enjoy it.
Yeah, look, it's week after week we come on and we talk about how these games are buggy and like they don't work and they crash. And like we literally just got a new raid event and it was broken for like 7 hours before they fixed it. All of that is true, but it's also true that these games were still incredibly ambitious. Like, this is still their first big open world game. Like, I feel like people don't talk about this is the first game they also did co-op, which happened to be an open world game as well. Like,
this is the first game they've done co-op to this extent. Black and White had some.
Yeah, but in Black and White, you couldn't like start the game with a person and walk through the entire game with
them.
This co-op is I legitimately suppose the co-op that most people would think co-op is, which is like, let's play the whole game together. There's a lot going on in this game. They're very ambitious, but at the same time, they're very broken and bad frame rate and a little ugly. Not the prettiest Pokemon games ever made, but I still want them to be good. Like, I think there is something in gaming. I don't know what it's called. I'll use two examples. There are two games we talk about all the time. We'll bring up the first game, Final Fantasy 14.
Damn.
That game was so bad when it came out that they literally they had an event in the game to destroy the entire world. And then they took like a year and a half off and then they relaunched it. And now it is this game that people absolutely adore and love.
Yep.
Like, they literally launched the worst game ever. They admitted it.
Oh, boy, it was bad.
And then they relaunched it. Another series I've done this, you've never heard this game before on this podcast, was Destiny. The first Destiny got very mediocre reviews, like a lot of 6 out of 10s, a 7 out of 10s. Every single review was like, there's something special here. This game is just not good right now.
Not it.
And when they released The Taken King, which came a year later, every single review was like, you need to buy Destiny now. Now is the time to play. They fixed everything we've been complaining about for the year. Like, Destiny is good again. Now, you know, that Destiny has had some bad expansion since. But, like, games have done this. I think another game that has done this was the Rainbow Six Siege game, I think. It launched, like, really, really poorly. And now it's, like, this, like, super loved competitive game. It's the new Rainbow. I can't remember the actual name, but Rainbow Siege. And I want that for Pokemon. I want that so bad for Pokemon. I want like the DLC to come out and for everyone to be like, they did it. They fixed everything for Scarlet and Violet. This is the time to come back if you purchased it. This upgrade is a 1,000,000% worth it. Like, if you haven't tried a Pokemon game in the last 5 years, now's the time to jump on. I want that so bad because I've seen so many. I've listed three games, but there's a ton of games that have done this, that have made this like miracle. Another one, No Man's Sky. I bought No Man's Sky. I regretted that purchase. It wasn't even like two hours into that game. And I was like, oh, I just burned $60 so badly. Oh, I wish I could return this. It was awful. And now like No Man's Sky is like this super loved game. And every time somebody brings up No Man's Sky, the thing you hear is like, oh, they really it's a good, which is like fair. Like that's a good, that's a thing you want to hear is like people being like, nah, they fixed it, man. It's really good. I want to be able to say that for Pokemon. I don't want to fall through the floor anymore.
And there's a difference there that Pokemon has the expectation of a different game coming out sooner than those games would. Like the next game in the main series.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, I mean, I know Final Fantasy has a lot of games, but I don't think that they happen as frequently.
No, Final Fantasy games take a while to come out.
I mean, it's different when you're talking about the MMO, because they do have to pump out an expansion to the base game about every year and a half, or their base will fall off. But that being said, like, and I talked to this with people before, each expansion they come out with, they do go back to the base game and say, we are now going to fix a bunch of stuff that was bad. Because the biggest joke in Final Fantasy 14 forever was how bad the grass is. Because when they wrote the base game, they decided to procedurally have the game make grass. They weren't going to draw grass. They just wrote code to say, just make grass, and it is so bad and is so ugly. And they finally said, after 10 years, we are fixing all the grass,
fix all the trees,
we're gonna fix it. But like, every time they come out with a DLC, they have a chance to go back and fix the base game, because you have to do things to make it integrate, right? And they could be doing that here, and it is the hope that the DLCs are going to bring overall general improvements, because you have to touch the base game. You have to be able to add on the DC. You can go back in. You're making changes in one area. You need to make changes everywhere. And you have the chance to do it. Whether or not they're going to take the chance to do it is another question.
Yeah, I don't think I have the hope for that. There's a hope that maybe these things will be fixed in the next main series game. But
I mean, I have the tiniest hope in the fact that the DLC was clearly delayed. But I lost that hope when all the raids broke. So
yeah. Here's the thing, and both can be true. Game Freak has made a ton of bad games. And Game Freak has made a ton of good games. Mm-hmm. And they can fix their bad games. They've done this before, and I will give you an example. The worst Pokemon game ever made by Game Freak is Diamond and Pearl. It is so bad. The pacing is terrible. 90% of the trainers use Geodude. There's the XP bar takes longer than it takes for your grandmother to make you a hot cocoa.
Oh man, thing is slow.
Like when you save the game, you feel like your Game Boy or your DS, whatever that was on, your DS is going to explode because it's like saving lots of data. Please like don't move a millisecond. Like those games are terrible. And then in whatever miracle that happened, Game Freak released one of their best games after that, which was Platinum.
Platinum.
They did it. They released the worst game they've ever released. And then a year and a half later, they released one of their best games. Like, so I do believe that I believe that Game Freak is not the best video game company out there when it comes to making games, but they have made good games. And they took whatever they hot mess that was Diamond and Pearl, and they made Platinum. And Platinum is awesome. Like, there's no actual reason why if you went into a game store and Platinum and Diamond and Pearl were sitting there and they were both like $40, you would ever buy Diamond and Pearl.
Correct.
No one would ever do. Like, Platinum is the significantly better game in every single aspect. And they did it. And so, like, Can they make this a better game? Sure. Yes, they've done it before. Will they? Don't know. Don't know like what their time frame is. Don't know what their budget is. Don't know if like Papa Pikachu at the Pokemon company is telling Game Freak like, we don't care. Move on to the next game after this. Just pump out this DLC and get going again. Like, we don't know who's actually like You're making right. those harder calls. We don't know what happened to Pokemon Z. What happened to Pokemon Z?
Yeah, like, we don't know what they're prioritizing. We don't know what they see as an actual problem versus mm-hmm. what the community feels is the actual problem.
And the games are still enjoyable.
Yeah.
I still like these games.
I still like them.
I'm in a rough patch with them. I really don't play Scarlet and Violet at all, and I recently restarted Sword, and I'm like, man, I love these games.
That's the Pokemon effect, though. You always hate the current game, and then 5 years
well,
later.
No, I mean, I love Sword and Shield when they were there.
No, I did too.
I really like them, but going back to them, and I'm like, this is just so much more of what I've wanted, apart from the fact that the routes are just hallways.
If you love hallways, let me introduce you to a game called Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl.
Yeah,
you can go into
they really leaned into the hallways,
underground hallway system.
Yeah. But other than that, like, all the characters are enjoyable, the buildings are like, I'm back in that world, and I'm so happy knowing that I'm full well I'm going to be disappointed by the story at the end. Thankfully I know how the stories end, so I'm prepped for how bad it is. But that is much more of the game that I want. And when I go into Scarlet and Violet and I'm just like, I can't with this game. Like, I do the raids when they're special, and then that is going to be the extent of me playing these games until the DLCs. And I hope the DLCs change it, but I don't know that that's a thing.
Well, speaking of raids, let's take one more break, and then we will talk about these Gimme Ghoul raids, and then just end with a little bit of anime news. So we will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by Every Plate. You can get more bang for your buck with America's best value meal kit. You've heard about it before. We've talked about it before. Every Plate is 25% cheaper than going to the grocery store. No hidden fees. So you can count on a great value week after week with 26 tasty and affordable recipes you can pick from each week. You can log into the website, pick which ones you want to deliver, including some that are 15 minutes or less for dinner. It is easy to find something for every meal. Plus, you can add delicious options to your order. There are 22 sides, lunches, snacks, desserts, and more. My favorite thing to add is the big old bucket of mac and cheese that you can add. It is awesome. It is easy to make. It is delicious. I put a little pepper on my mac and cheese. I like the little pepper. I've always grown up with pepper on my mac and cheese. And Every Plate's mac and cheese is bomb. You can choose every plate over takeout to save money while still enjoying quick, satisfying meals. Their meals are 50% cheaper than your average fast casual meal. You can put that money and save towards making fun summer plans. Get started with every plate for just $1.49 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and enter the code SUPEREFFECTIVE49. Get $1.49 per meal by going to everyplate.com/podcast and entering code SUPEREFFECTIVE49 at checkout. This podcast is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Watching Netflix without using ExpressVPN is like going to Vegas and not being able to leave your hotel. There's lots of hotels in Vegas, and they all got different things going on, and you should be able to explore those different things. I don't know if you know this, but Netflix has different content libraries for every country. That means there are thousands of shows that you cannot access without a VPN. But with a VPN, you'll be able to unlock hundreds of shows you wouldn't be able to access normally. Let me give you an example. If you're in the US and you want to watch Shrek, there's no way to do that right now. But with ExpressVPN, you would be able to switch your region to Australia and you can watch all the Shrek you want. And we all know that Shrek's a pretty good movie and you'll want to watch that. You're already paying for Netflix and you can't watch Shrek, but with ExpressVPN, you would be able to. ExpressVPN offers blazing fast speeds. You can stream in HD with no buffering, compatible on your phone, your laptop, your media consoles, your smart TVs, your game consoles underneath your smart TVs. So be smart. Stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/pkmncast. And don't forget to use our link at expressvpn.com/pkmncast to get an extra 3 months free of ExpressVPN. expressvpn.com/pkmncast or click the link in our show notes. And we are back from our break. Announcing a Terra Raid battle event featuring Chest Form Gimme Ghoul starting Wednesday, June 21st. The end date here. July 2nd is the end date. The Chest Form Gimme Ghoul appearing in this event will have various Terra types. You will be able to find them through 1 to 5-star raid battles. If you challenge the ones in the 5-star raid battle, you'll have a small chance to encounter a shiny Chest Form Gimme Ghoul, which does not appear during normal gameplay. And then there was a new mystery gift code. Or I think it's 10 nuggets, 10 rare candy, 1 friend ball. That's up on my like Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that. If you want to redeem those, which I think those end July 31st. So you got plenty of time. So brand new raid event. This kind of makes sense why Del Fox or Rillaboom didn't show up yet. I don't know. They could still show up, I guess.
They have done events at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Janine likes to schedule everything on top of one another.
So we're 7 months into this game. This is our first shiny event in Sword and Shield. It took 2 months to get to our first shiny event, which was the Magikarp for New Year's. And it broke. Specifically, if you were a Scarlet player for some odd reason, you just couldn't connect or you would disconnect. And then if you were a Violet player trying to and had a Scarlet player join your game, it would break for you. Now, if you happen to get 4 Violet players together, it was issue free. And it took about 6 to 7 hours for them to fix that. The raids went up at 10 a.m. Central Time. And I was streaming on Twitch and I was like, oh, should I even do these? And then it was like, oh, they're broken. Okay, no, I guess I'm ending stream. All right, I'll see you guys. I'm taking Wednesday off. But they got fixed, you know, around 5-6 o'clock. They did like an emergency push update thing. We just came off a month of we came off 3 weeks of no Chestnut and no Iron Tusk and Great Horns with great whatever their names are. I love Great Horns. That's actually in the DLC.
Great Horn and Iron Tusks.
Those are the spoiler Pokemon for the deal. We just got off of those raids. They were broken for 3 weeks. It took you 3 weeks. I don't know if it actually took you 3 weeks, but it took to your audience, it took you 3 weeks to fix these raids. And then the next new raid event is broken. What?
Yeah, a whole different way.
I don't understand.
They should just give this series over to Ilka, who knows what they're doing.
Uh-huh. There, it's fixed now. Okay, so the other news is they turned Gaming Ghoul shiny event. Yeah. People are very excited. You know,
how's them odds?
Before we get to the odds, I will say this. I love Sword and Shield, so I will always go to bat for Sword and Shield. Don't get me wrong. Sword and Shield people complained that there wasn't enough shiny hunting ways compared to past games. Like in X and Y, you had Radar, you had Friend Safari, you had Chain Fishing. There's probably Software Setting, of course. There's probably something else I'm forgetting. I think the concept of returning a Pokemon shiny for a couple days and you have to do a co-op group thing this weekend is cool and great. And it's what I want in a video game. And it's kind of why I like raids so much in general, from Sword and Shield to Scarlet and Violet. I just think that's cool. It's kind of the same like thought of like Community Day. Like, I like going out and being with people and playing Pokemon together. And so the fact that Sword and Shield did that pretty much once a month, every month, was like a, like, yeah, they didn't have as many options to shiny hunt like as in Sun and Moon or X and Y, but like that was still a unique way to shiny hunt. It was just like on a schedule and required other players. I thought it was fantastic. And so when they're like, oh, a shiny event, I felt like everyone in the room was like, yes, finally. And then we were like waiting for the data miners to be like, here are the odds. Maybe it's 1 in 100. You know, maybe it's like 1 in 99, because that would be very clever, fun, because you need 99. You know, a big number, but you know, still kind of. It's regular. It's 1 in 4,000. It's just what? Like, they don't say here. They will never say here what the odds are. I want to repeat what the sentence is. If you challenge 1 in 5-star terror raid battle, you have a small chance to encounter shiny. That's not a small. That's like you have a small chance of winning the Powerball. Do you have a small chance of winning the Powerball? Because I don't. I think our definitions of small are very different. Pokemon Company. Even there were raids in Scarlet and Sword and Shield where it was like a 1 in 50 chance or like a 1 in 100 chance. And you would still spend all weekend doing it, mm-hmm. and maybe not even get it. That's a lot of time to dedicate. And like, I don't want to get into like, well, that makes the shiny more rare, more valuable. Look, my LinkedIn is stacked with shinies. Like, I'm getting job offers left and right because employers know how valuable my collection is, I'm sure. But like, there's also something called respecting your player's time. And like make like even if and like just having a fun event. Video games at the end of the day are supposed to be fun. There is nothing. Oh, I'm so mad right now. There is nothing fun about walking across Paldea to a raid event to then realize that it's a 3-star raid and that's not shiny. And then, OK, I'll trek over here. Okay, because I don't know, because the map doesn't show me if it's a 3 or a 5 or a 6 or a, like, I have no clue what star rate it is. I can only walk and then, oh, this is a 4-star. This is a 4-star. This is a 3-star. Well, how do you want your players to do this, Pokemon? Because I have gone 7 months in this game without changing my system clock. Because I'm like, there's more than enough to do. I can join other people's raids. I'm not going to do all my raids anyways. I'm going to get distracted and I'm going to like Eevee train. I have a million things to do. I don't need to change my system clock. I don't want to change my system clock because I don't want to be disqualified from the Animal Crossing World Championships that will happen in the future. No one wants to be disqualified. I'm not a cheater time traveler in that game. I can't change my clock. I walk through all Paldea. Great. Out of all the promoted raids, only one of them was 5-star. The rest was 3 and 4-star. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to sit in a 10-minute queue and try to connect to other people for it to say connection not found? Literally 10 minutes. I have footage of this. I like 15 plus minutes of me just trying to connect to get into one raid for then the host to be like, I didn't like that. You're bringing a Mew. Disconnect. Like, okay, I guess I'll get back in queue. Like, how do you want me to put, like, the only way I can actually do this is to go into my, like, system clock and move it, like, forward a minute. And then all the raids refresh. And then I have to do this painful walk to each one. Like, it's not even the shiny odds that are upsetting. It's the fact that this event is not fun in, like, any way. Like, the rewards are okay, I guess.
I've just been playing it for the rewards. If you just play it for the rewards, it's fine. No expectation of a shiny.
Like, I felt like the rewards were better for Kratos. Like, it's so... I think the expectations are different because they announced this during a press release, right? Like, they announced this during the Nintendo Direct. They're like, this is this huge raid event. It's not this weekend. It's like 2 weeks long. This is the first time Gimme Ghoul's in raids. This is the first time Gimme Ghoul can be shiny. You can actually get like a decently IV'd Gimme Ghoul. This is the first time you can get an XXL Gimme Ghoul or an XXX small or XX small Gimme Ghoul minus Pokemon Go. Like, it is on paper an exciting event, and then you have this thing where like 3 and 4 stars raids are just completely useless. Like, there's no way in the game to regenerate raids. I don't know if you guys remember this. When I say you guys, I'm talking about listeners. In Sword and Shield, not only could you check, like, I play a lot of Pokemon, I understand I'm in the minority, but in Sword and Shield, every single day when I would play, I would check every single raid den in the main game, the Crown Tundra, and the Isle of Armor. I wanted those Watts. I was addicted to Watts. But I would check them all too, and checking every single raid den in that game took me about 45 minutes. That's unreasonable in this game because everything is so spread apart. And on top of that, in Sword and Shield, I could reset the raid dens manually by just doing them. I could, if you cleared them out, new raids would spawn in. There's no way to do that in Scarlet and Violet. Like, I can't even, like, pay a person to be like, hey, can you, like, refresh all the raids because they're bad? I don't think the intended gameplay is to be like, well, open up your system clock and move the date. What? Like, I don't think that's how they want us to play. Like, for a company that could just copy and paste features from old games and, like, call it a day, why did they're so bent on, like, making new mechanics that are not better than the mechanics they had before. There's an audio, if you're watching the video version, Greg and Hannah are speechless. If you're listening to the audio version.
What do you want me to add? Like, yes, that. Yep. Like, there are frustrations with how Scarlet and Violet does things. This isn't helping.
The thing that stood out to me the most, I'm going to call out one of my friends, Steele. She's great. She came in to my stream and she was like, I was excited for this event and then I heard everything wrong with it. So I went back to play Diablo 4 and I was like, That is everything in a nutshell. Yep. Like, if you are making a new event, it should be fun and exciting enough to pull you away from a current game that you're obsessed with or enjoying playing. Like, man, I wanted to play Diablo 4 last night. Didn't work. Servers were down. So I went to play Apex because it was the last game I played. But I had like a good time because I was like, oh, there's a new event in Apex. Cool. Like, this is great. Like, I didn't know there was a new event. I'm here for it. I might actually go play a little bit of Apex tonight because there's nothing about this event that I feel like would draw a player in and be like, oh, man, I got to get these 1 and 4. Like it's just a bad event. Like, I would rather have another week of Chestnut, because Chestnut gave significantly better rewards. And I could actually easily get into a random Chestnut raid.
Yeah, I'm not even trying to use the raid menu. I'm just going through and clearing out my Gimme Ghoul raids and seeing what I get there. Because trying to use the raid finder menu, like we said last week, is unpleasant. And potentially useless.
I'm so glad last week was dedicated to the Raid Finder menu because the more I use it, the more angry I get.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Like, to everyone being like, oh, YCOM was bad, bring me back. Bring back YCOM. Because at least YCOM didn't at least like when you connected to something in Wycom, it was pretty quick where it would be like, yes, you're in, or no, you're not.
Or no, you're not.
In Scarlet and Violet, when you connect, there is no backing out. You are just in this 3 minute loop of it thinking for it to be like, nope, you didn't get it. Yeah, I've never waited 3+ minutes for it to say like, you're in.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing is because Scarlet and Violet it's trying to find something to match your parameters. And if the first one was full, instead of saying, hey, that was the only one, I'm going to kick you out, it's like, I'm going to search the universe to see if somebody else is doing this. I'll let you know in about 5 hours. Stop it. Free me from this.
There's not
pain.
Even a cancel button. I can't even cancel.
I can't even say I didn't even want that one. I hit the button by mistake. Let me undo my mistake. I don't care about that Gardevoir right now.
If somebody is hosting a 6-star raid and I'm going to go over to the little magnifying glass to like punch in the number and I accidentally click the raid right before it, I have now missed that 6-star raid because a raid is only open for 3 minutes. And the raid the 2-star Teddy Ursa I just accidentally clicked on has now held me hostage for like 5 minutes because I have no way of backing out.
I have
no
way of getting out. And when I get out and finally can refresh, the one that I wanted is now gone.
This is the worst way to do an event. If this was like truly an event, again, it has nothing to do with shiny odds. It has to do with like, make them all 5-star, make the reward slightly better, give me a way to refresh them, like fix Wycom, or not Wycom, fix what I don't even know what it's called, Poke Network, fix it so I'm not sitting in a 10 minute queue to try to connect. Like,
but no, they had to fix the raids themselves instead. They broke.
The raids launched broken. Now, that being said, like, I think the reason I brought up the Sword and Shield stuff is just because an old game did something doesn't mean like a new game has to like do it as well.
Right.
Just because we were so accustomed with shiny raids every month in Sword and Shield doesn't mean like we should be getting or we should expect shiny raids every month. But I don't blame any fan or anyone who has purchased this game to not have somewhat similar expectations of like, okay, well, if I grind out raids all weekend, there's a small chance I'll be able to get it. Small chance meaning if I put in the work, I'll be able to get it. Or if I like at least give this game a couple hours every day, I should be able to get it. Or that doesn't like you, go buy a scratch off at your gas station. You will have better odds than like I think there are some scratch offs that are like 1 in 100 and you win like $5. You will have better odds than this. And I do get that there's like, you know, if somebody does stumble upon one, they can back out and they can like invite people and stuff. But that doesn't suddenly make this raid event more fun.
No.
And again, I think the thing is like events should be fun.
Yeah. I was interested until, again, I saw it's 1 to 5-star, which you can't see on this map.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then the shiny odds were normal, and I'm like, I don't even like this thing. I don't. And then I would need to do 4,000 of these to become at odds. No. I don't have a job right now, but I have a life. I'm not going to sit in there 8 hours a day scamming through Gimme Ghoul raids to be like, now's the time to get the one.
That's okay. That's not even the 1 in 4,000 isn't even like the bad part, because I can crank out Gimme Ghouls no problem. The bad part is like walking across Paldea frustrating to be like,
you just have to fly to the nearest fly point. Have you not unlocked all the fly points?
And then you're like, oh, this is 3, oh, this is 4. Oh, yeah. This is another 3.
Yeah.
Like, you spend more time outside of the raids than inside of the raids. And let's talk about this. 3+ years of Sword and Shield raids. You go in, it sparkles.
Yes.
Like, Gimme Ghoul doesn't have the best shiny. It goes from gray to white. But by the way, this Pokemon hides in a chest. You can barely see it. And there's no sparkle in this game. The average person, that probably wouldn't even matter because they'd play this game for like 40 or 50 hours and then put it down and maybe done like six raids. And the likelihood of them finding a shiny in a raid is 1 in 4,000, right? You're promoting this as a shiny event with a pretty bad shiny. Not the worst shiny, pretty bad because it's tiny Pokemon in a chest hiding. You didn't think that, like, maybe there should be a sparkle animation? Why didn't you copy and paste that for a franchise that loves to copy and paste? Like, I'm just commenting. They always copy and paste. They sure didn't copy and paste that. That's for sure. Like,
they did not.
Why do they not sparkle? When you were fixing the broken raids, you should have like emergency updated like a sparkle animation or something. Like, I just don't get it. I think this raid event would have been good if you just didn't turn it shiny. If you would have just left it non-shiny and just been like, hey, there's a Gimme Ghoul raid event. It drops a bunch of nuggets.
If they didn't make it being potentially shiny the point, everything else would just be a fine raid event.
Like, if it says you have a small chance of encountering shiny form Gimme Ghoul, let me reword this for you. If you challenge Gimme Ghoul raids, you will get a good chance of getting a bunch of money. There. Just drop a bunch of nuggets. People would have been like, yep, this is great. Cool. I can get a bunch of nuggets. Like, you turning it shiny and having all of these other can't see what star the raids are, got to walk to each one. Your network thing is a nightmare. These launch broken, the shiny, like, this is just a terrible event. It sucks. I'm sorry, it's bad.
And I figure eventually shiny Gimme Ghoul will come to Pokemon Go, so getting that shiny Golden Go will probably
gonna
be possible
wait
through there.
Until the community day in 2027.
I don't know if it'll be a community day. It might just be an occasional event like Meltan is.
I don't understand either, because like when you compare the Pokemon to Meltan, which is a great point, where they like turn on and off the shiny for whatever reason they have for that, like it still feels obtainable.
Mm-hmm.
Like oh, I got to play 30 minutes a day, and like, okay, I didn't get it on Monday, I didn't get it on Tuesday, I didn't get it on Wednesday. Oh, cool, I got it on Thursday, great. Like, I'll do it again on Friday. Oh, didn't get it. Oh, cool, I got it on. Like, it feels like it's asking you 30 minutes of your time every day when that event comes around.
Mm-hmm.
And like most days you don't get it, but the day you do get it, you're like, cool, I did
and on
it.
The days you don't get it, you can't go for any longer.
Right.
Yeah. And I think Kecleon and Painter Dog.
Smeargle
are the other Pokemon whose shinies
Painter Dog
locked occasionally. Words escape me occasionally. Sorry.
Painter Dog or 500, Alex.
You know, Painter Dog is a better name.
What is a Smeargle?
There's Those Painter
the
Dog, there's Doe Dog.
I thought Kecleon was always on.
Dog.
Kecleon might be always on at this point.
I mean,
but Smeargle is definitely an on and off. Painter Dog is definitely not available as shiny right now.
I hatched two shiny Relicanths during the Hoenn tour. Full disclosure, by the way, Niantic did give me free incubators for that event because I think incubators are a big scam. They gave me, I don't even know, they think they gave me like 10 or 15 free incubators before the event. So
normal
I was hatching a
premium?
Lot. The premium, the purple ones. So I was hatching a lot of 10k eggs. I ended up hatching two shiny Relicanth, and I traded a shiny Relicanth to a friend because they had a shiny hat Pikachu, and I collect the Pikachus, and I had two. And the last day of the Hoenn tour, the last like 10 minutes of the event, somebody's walking by and they're like, shiny Kecleon, trading shiny Kecleon. And I was like, what do you want for it? And she was like, you got shiny Relicanth? And I was like, I'm done. And I made that trade instantly because my thought process was, I already have the Relicanth registered in the Pokemon Go Pokedex, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have 40 shiny Relicanth in Pokemon Home because chain fishing was a thing in X and Y. So what do I need this for? What value is this adding to my LinkedIn profile? Nothing. None. You know what is valuable? I knew it was going to happen. They turned Kecleon shiny, and now it's impossible to fight. I have find five normal Kecleon to get Jirachi. Yep. I have found one since.
Isn't it 10? I'm on that step 2.
I'm on five because I have the premium ticket. If you went if you went to Vegas, you only have to find five.
Okay.
If you didn't go to Vegas, it's 10. I regret nothing about that trade. That trade was perfect for me. I'm very happy with mine. I'm going to walk with my shiny Kecleon tonight. Anyways. This raid event was bad.
And eventually you will be able to get a shiny golden go through go. I am almost certain.
Oh, yeah. I'm certain. I'm certain too. I'm not too worried about it. I just wish the event was fun. I just wish it was like exciting to do. It just feels miserable. Final bit of news here is part 3 of Ultimate Journeys. The series is now on Netflix. This is the final.
This is leading up to the battle.
Does this not have the Leon battle?
It does, I think.
I think it doesn't.
I think it does. This is everything. I'm pretty sure this is everything before the final Ash stretch. I don't remember.
Which is the 8 episode. Are you talking about the 8 episodes?
Yeah. I think this is everything before the 8 episodes.
Okay, the last episode I remember seeing was the Darkrai episode, which was like a 2-part.
I'm not caught up.
I did not watch 100 episodes of this anime. I'll tell you that much.
I mean, they've released them over time. It's been very chunked out.
Yes. Okay, so Nightfall Nightmares and A Midnight Summer Night, though that had Darkrai and Cresselia. The whole series in Japanese is 136 episodes. And we're getting episode 60? What?
Does have Leon. I think that Leon is in episode 37 or 38. There are just more episodes at the end that I didn't expect because I try not to spoil it too much.
Are they cutting episodes for US?
I don't think so.
I think they are.
Are they? Ultimate Journeys was separate from Pokemon Journeys.
Oh, you're right.
That's the difference. Yeah, that always confused me on Netflix. There's Pokemon Journeys, Pokemon Master Journeys, and Pokemon Ultimate Journeys. That's where they cut it up.
Got it. I remember this. They like rebranded it for some reason.
In ways that sound almost no different.
Yes.
And you can't tell which comes first when you're trying to figure out which comes first.
So now I don't know where I left off, actually. So this might be the Leon stuff then.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Got it.
I'm looking at the episodes.
Yeah.
In part 3.
Yeah.
Because part 2...
Wow, if I left off of the Darkrai stuff.
Yeah, you're behind. You're way behind because part 2 ends with.
It's probably because they were like, oh, we released part 2. But I was like, I already watched that part 2. Yeah. But that was a different part 2.
It was a different part 2. Yeah. The last. So part 2 ended with the Iris Cynthia Masters 8 battle.
Oh, okay. I just want to watch the Masters 8. I don't care about anything else.
Then you want to pick up part 2.
Okay.
Episode boy.
Oh, I do remember the Alcremie stuff. I think maybe I started watching. I think the last episode I watched was the giant Pikachu versus the giant Alcremie. But I don't think Pikachu was Gigantamax. I think it just ate a bunch of cake. Spoiler. All right, well, I guess I would probably have a more enjoyable time watching the Pokemon anime than doing Gimme Ghoul raids. I'll tell you that much.
Yep.
All right, well, that was today's show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for making it to the end.
Here's the question I've been waiting to ask this entire time, Steve.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Have you gone and celebrated Grimace's birthday yet?
Oh, you better believe I have.
I knew there was one person who would have gone and celebrated the now queer icon Grimace's birthday.
Yes, I did Grimace's birthday meal. It was a 10-piece nugget, large fries, and the Grimace shake.
How is the Grimace's shake?
It tastes like you ever have a wild berry Pop-Tart?
Yeah, I think. I think I know that reference point.
Yeah, it kind of tastes like that. It just, like, wild berry doesn't really taste like any berry. It just kind of tastes like all of the berries.
It's roughly berry flavored, yes. Yeah,
it's roughly blue and red flavor. Yeah, it tastes like that. It's okay. I would get it again. But yeah, it's fine. I don't know why they needed a whole celebration for a purple shake, but you know, marketing.
Because it is Grimace's birthday. Beloved character.
I want the Hamburglar's birthday next, please. But for his for the Hamburglar's birthday, they should have it be like a salad.
Here's another question that I'm testing your McDonald's knowledge.
I have 26,000 points in my McDonald's app.
Who is the McDonald's Land characters? Who is Grimace's relative in the McDonald's Land character?
Ooh, I don't know that. I don't know what that little bird character is called.
Early Bird?
Oh, is that her name?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I only know the Hamburglar, Grimace, Mr. Ronald, and then that's it, I think. I know there are more characters.
So you don't know the wonders of Uncle O'Grimacy, who is green for the Shamrock Shake and who is weirdly Irish to Grimace's unstated national
identity? Are they retconning McDonald's characters?
No, Uncle O'Grimacy is real.
Yeah, but like, are they retconning him to be in charge of the Shamrock Shake?
No, Uncle O'Grimacy was created to promote the Shamrock Shake.
The question is when they did Shamrock Shakes.
70 something?
That makes sense.
I forget.
There's a McDonald's app on Bulbapedia and it's showing the Grimace Shake right now.
Because Early Bird was created in... Okay, here it is. Uncle Grimacy was 1975. Early Bird is when McDonald's started doing breakfast. They created...
Oh, is that Early why Bird. She exists? I just typed in Early Bird in Bulbapedia and it gave me an ability. That's not even the... I'm losing my mind right now. Her name is Birdie the Early Bird.
Yeah, Birdie the Early Bird.
Got it. Oh, I'm on McDonald's.fandom. This is a whole website.
Yeah. Hey, sure is.
If you've made it to the end of this podcast and you're watching on YouTube, comment below what your McDonald's order is. I would love to know.
Or who your favorite McDonald's character is.
I want to know your order more than your character. Because everyone's going to pick Grimace. Because why would you not pick Grimace?
Because the Fry Guys exist. There's Mac Tonight. There's Mayor McCheese.
I'm trying to think of when the last time I ate McDonald's anything was.
I can tell you, for me, it was 1991.
You want to go to McDonald's, Greg? You got to get the Grimace Never. Shake.
Never.
It's his birthday, Greg.
Yeah. Like, if I went over to a person's house that I'm like, you make terrible food, I'm not going to be like, I'm going to eat your food for your birthday. I'd be like, hey, let's go out to somewhere that I want to go to. I'll treat you for your birthday because I'm not eating your disgusting food.
You wouldn't even get the shake?
No.
It's not food. It's a beverage.
It is food.
What would you not even go to McDonald's to get like their Coke? We all know they got better Coke.
No. No, I'm not going to McDonald's. I'm not giving McDonald's my money.
I got a gift card.
Okay. Spend it on yourself. I'm not going to deprive you of the only meal you'll eat.
I had McDonald's last night. It wasn't that good.
It never is that good.
Sometimes it hits the spot.
No. Yeah, sometimes it hits the spot. It's like saying when I'm drunk, I like White Castle.
I think I ate McDonald's when I went to Spain. I think it's better in other countries.
McDonald's in Germany. It slapped. It was good. I wonder if there's like a fast food podcast. If there's not, I'm willing to start it.
Did you know that there was a pirate amongst the McDonald's Land mascots?
I did not. What was he selling?
Captain Crook. He was the filet of fish stealing counterpart to Hamburglar.
Did he have a french fry as a sword? Because that'd be cool.
I don't remember that part. I mean, the Hamburglar was stealing hamburgers and Captain Crook was stealing filet of fish. I don't remember if he had. I know he has a sword, but I don't think it's a french fry.
It should be.
It should be.
All right, Greg, you have a Kickstarter.
I do. It's called The Mystery Business. It's a wonderful TTRPG. Go back it, please. Kickstarter, The Mystery Business. Live out your life as a Scooby-Doo gang.
Can they just search your name? Does that work too?
They can also search for Leatherman Games, which is my company.
All right. Well, that's our show. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Greg. We will be back next week. Should be a crossover episode. I'll be in. I forgot to say this. I'll be in Columbus, Ohio. Unfortunately, that's where the world or national championships will be. If you're listening to this on Monday, I'm going to try to find an area that maybe isn't downtown, maybe a park in Columbus that we can do raid hour on Wednesday, because I should get in around 3 o'clock on Wednesday. I would like to do raid hour when I get there. If you are in the Columbus area and you know how to do raid hour, or you know a good place that is close to downtown, message me, and because I want to do raid hour. I don't even know what the raid hour is. This is it. Not Nihiligo, maybe? I don't know.
That sounds right. My phone's at the Apple Store.
Sure. And then I'll be there all weekend. So if you're going to Columbus, Ohio, you can say hi. I'm meeting up with Pokey Sports. They rented a podcast studio. We're going to record an episode, and that'll go up on their feed and my feed. And if for some reason that doesn't work, I'm gonna panic call Hannah and Greg, and I'm gonna record in a hotel room or something, so we'll figure that out. But
all right, June raid hours.
It is Nihiligo.
Yo, I checked. Cool. I don't have that shiny.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Not sure if we're playing any more Gimme Ghoul raids or not. Super effective.
Gimme Ghoul could be a McDonald's Land character, though. If they introduce a line of string cheese, that design's going for it right there.
They had string cheese at one point. You get the Happy Meal.
That was that whole healthy, give your kids apples instead of fries, which was never going to work.
Oh, their apples are good, though.
They're apples.
They do make them a little different, if I'm remembering it.
They sprinkle them with sugar, just like their fries.
They're super sweet.
That's why I like them. This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers over on Patreon, starting with Kay, Catherine, Stuart, Tony, Matthew, Casey, Brady, Jessica, Spencer, Brian, Bovine, Steven, Chris, Josh, Fumes, and Yarny. A huge shout out to all of them. If you too would like to support us on Patreon, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST to support the show, and we will see you next week.